Thank you for joining us for this session of the Queen Life. We're so excited about this teaching and what the Lord is going to teach us about the spoil. About the spoil. We are in Esther chapter 8, verse 11, chapter 9, verse 10, verse 15, and verses 16 through 19, all of chapter 9. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this time on the line. We thank you for the Queen Life and how you've used it to teach us and to increase us and to further our understanding about you and the principles of living a royal kind of life. We thank you for what you're going to teach us in this session. Open the eyes of our understanding, I pray. Cause us to grow in wisdom and grow in grace and grow to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to deal with the spoil, and we're operating from this guiding principle that sometimes the victory is when we see the work of God prevail. It's in our lives being rescued or secured, not in the spoil that we've taken. Sometimes the victory is in seeing the hand of God or the work of God prevail. It's in our lives being secured, not in the spoil that we've taken. But let's open this session with three questions. Number one, what is the battle worth to you? What is the battle worth? Number two, is the security of a nation enough for you? What is your expectation of the battle? Is another way to say it. And number three, do you secretly hope for a personal reward? Spoil is about our motive in the battle. The Jews' response in this context in the account of Esther teaches us about perspective in battle. So let's back up and look at the historical context first. And the phrase there is the spoils of war. And according to historical context and definition, the victorious party in a military conflict or in a war had the right to take the spoil of the people that they conquered. One of the definitions that varies slightly from that is that spoil is plunder taken from an enemy in war or a victim in a robbery. It also means the act of damaging, and it also means that spoil is what belongs by right or by custom to the victorious party in war or political context. The suggestion, then, is that there's a right way to do war and to fight in battle, just as there is a wrong way to do war. So let's begin in chapter 8, verse 11. It says that the king granted the Jews to stand for their lives against those who wanted to assault them and take their spoil. When we started this study in Esther's Call 2, I thought that this meant that the Jews were authorized to take spoil. But when you read it closely, the repeated phrase that we're going to examine in this session, but they laid not their hand to the spoil or the prey, it makes a distinction between the Jews and their enemies, and it reveals a way that in this situation God receives the glory. See, the only difference between Haman's decree and the revision was the empowerment of the Jews to defend themselves. The cross-reference here is in Esther chapter 3, verse 13, where Haman commanded the Jews to be destroyed, killed, and caused to perish. This then became the duty of the Jews with the revision, but only for those who initiated the conflict. So Esther 8 and 11 does not mean that the Jews were authorized to defend themselves and take spoil. What it's saying is that the Jews were authorized to defend themselves against the people wanted to assault them and take their spoil. Different matter. So the principle here is this, that sometimes God will bring a fight to you. Sometimes God will bring a fight to you. And when he does, we have to keep our heads. We have to remain sober in the battle. So it brings about a question. We read in several places that the Jews, did not lay their hand to the spoil or the prey. And the recurring question that kept coming to me was, well, why did the Jews not engage in plundering? I mean, there's definitely a biblical precedent for taking the spoil. There's a precedent for the people of God being victorious in war and having the right to take spoil. But why did the Jews not touch it? I offer a simple possibility. It could be that this battle was not about the spoil. I believe that this battle was all about Esther being raised up as the deliverer for her people. Remember, prior to this session, we talked about the bad blood that went back for generations between the Jews and the Agagites. King Saul was charged not to take any spoil, but to kill everything. So for the Jews to take spoil now will perpetuate a cycle. I believe that their not taking the spoil was partially because they remembered the error of Saul, but also because they understood the opportunity they had to redeem Saul's earlier disobedience by doing only what they needed to do, and that was to stand for their lives on the new decree. So what does that mean for us today? How do you and I approach and apply a lesson on the spoil? I have two suggestions. Number one, don't get greedy with your victory. Don't get greedy with your victory. Saul got greedy. Achan got greedy. And their greed created problems for others. Consider that the victory is proportionate to the battle. And so we're coming out of a mental battle. The victory is peace of mind, clarity of thought, no more confusion. Whatsoever things are pure and just and lovely and virtuous and so on, we think on those things. It's laying hold of the mind of Christ that we have and allowing it to be active in us. It's not receiving money for a mental battle. Do you get what I'm saying? If in a physical battle, you know, the result is restoration. The victory is wisdom, it's knowledge, it's healing, it's character, understanding even, or a greater testimony. It's not a car. And even in an emotional battle, coming out from depressing and oppressing spirit, the victory there is joy. It's liberty. It's beauty. It's a fresh perspective. It's a life without limits, a steady emotional health. It's not a new house. And so we've got to manage victory well, learn how to manage victory. And one way we do that is not to get greedy. Another way we do that is to watch what we let ourselves believe. Watch what we let ourselves believe. In monitoring our belief, We have to keep a Berean mentality. Remember, the scriptures talk about the church at Berea, who searched the scriptures daily to see if what was being preached to them was the truth. Regarding battle, it's been quoted in our churches that if the thief be caught, he must restore sevenfold. Let's take this as an example and let's look closer. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 30 and 31. It says, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Verses 20 through 35 in chapter 6 of Proverbs is a discourse on adultery. It's a warning against adultery. And this phrase that we believed and that's been misquoted or only partially quoted is sandwiched in this passage as a comparison. The idea is that excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he is starving. But if he's caught, he must pay back seven times what he stole, even if he has to sell everything in his house. But there's no excuse for the man who steals another man's wife, because this man is a fool and destroys himself. I mean, do you see how just running with, if the thief be caught, he must restore sevenfold, can really lead us down a path of error because it's taken out of context that way? Another example is a common phrase in some churches that when the praises go up, the blessings come down. Really? Let's look at another verse. Psalm 22, verse 3. It says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Not when the praises go up, the blessings come down. But when the praises go up, we get God, who's better than the blessing. Amen. So one way to manage victory is to not be greedy, but also to watch what we believe. We can expect spoil when it's part of the terms of the war. But when the purpose of the war is greater than our inconvenience, we have to consider that God gets the glory another way. And instead of taking spoil, the Jews gave portions, gave gifts to one another. How awesome is that? That when a common response would be to loot and take everything that belonged to the enemy and now make it yours, you turn to the one who fought next to you and you begin to give gifts. We're going to look a little closer at this in the next session, but I think this is an important consideration because sometimes we come out of battles and we're looking for the things that we want as opposed to what is best and what gives God glory. So I want us to take away from this lesson another perspective of battle. That we can fight the good fight, but don't be mistaken, if it is a spiritual battle, God is sovereign. He can, of course, choose to give a physical reward. But if the battle is spiritual, the victory is proportionate to the battle. If the battle is mental, the reward is not a new car. The reward is your righteous mind. If the battle is emotional, the reward is not a new house. The reward is maturity and growth and stability and consistency. So I'd like for us to consider that when we look at the spoil, and that there's something about the believer in Jesus Christ that makes us set apart. There, I call it the distinctor, the distinctive. And that's what the companion blog to this teaching is about, the Christian distinctive. That the way we handle things is different from other systems because of who our God is. So take that to heart. Look again at these verses on spoil. Pay attention to your motive in the battle. Don't let the only way you get through a battle be that you're waiting for the reward of some tangible manifestation like a car or a house. But no, go through the battle yet praising God, yet seeking God, yet honoring God, and allowing Him to reward you with what is best. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for challenging us to look closer at our motive when we endure a time of battle and come out victorious. Help us to manage victory. Help us to manage our expectations. Help us not to be greedy with victory and to disobey You because of the lust of the eyes or the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. And help us not to be so gullible and so quick to believe the things that are spoken over us that are not scriptural. God, we thank You for growing us up. We thank You for teaching us, for opening our eyes in this session. Let the truth be useful unto us. In Jesus' name, amen.